Thousands of supporters of Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe flocked to his inauguration ceremony in the capital Harare on Thursday as he was sworn in for his seventh term as head of state. The ceremony was delayed by a court petition filed by Mr. Mugabe's main rival Morgan Tsvangirai, who alleged widespread electoral fraud. But this was dismissed by Zimbabwe's constitutional court, and Mr. Mugabe, who is 89, took the oath of office. Zimbabwe has been the subject of sanctions from the United States and the European Union for around 10 years. They were first imposed after the Mugabe regime was accused of human rights abuses against its fellow Zimbabweans. They tend to focus mostly on travel bans for the president and some of his senior officials in the ruling ZANU-PF party. During his inauguration speech, Mr. Mugabe questioned the legitimacy of the sanctions.
With the elections now behind us, we can now focus on rebuilding our nation, which has been ravaged by illegal sanctions imposed on us by the West. Today we ask what their excuse is.
Well, earlier I spoke to two Zimbabweans, both of whom have been imprisoned by the Mugabe regime at different points over the past 30 years. James Makamba is a businessman, and in the late 1990s, he launched an independent TV station in Zimbabwe called Joy TV. Once an ally of President Mugabe, he was charged and jailed in 2004 for allegedly taking foreign currency out of the country. Basil Dunn-Petter is a journalist who was once labelled by President Mugabe's spokesman as a terrorist. He fled Zimbabwe in 2001. James Makamba believes Western sanctions should be lifted. I asked him why.
Over the last decade, with each review by both the EU and the Americans, they've relaxed and let go some of these sanctions.
Are you saying then that these sanctions are now so small, they're just travel bans really against Robert Mugabe and some of his senior ZANU-PF colleagues, that they don't matter and they should be lifted?
That is my view, yes.
Basildon, what's your view then on sanctions?
If at all, they should be intensified, in my view. The sanctions were imposed because of a number of reasons, mainly human rights violations and the Mugabe regime's persistent failure to create an environment in which free, fair elections can be held. We still have violations of human rights at a monumental scale. The elections that have just been concluded in Zimbabwe now are a huge farce, to quote Morgan Tsvangirai's own words.
James Makamba, the European Union sanctions not only shouldn't have been relaxed a few years ago, but there should be more of them now.
No. We all know from a historical perspective, in any of the countries where sanctions have been imposed, that they hurt the ordinary people. Both America and the EU said, we will be guided by the AU. We will be guided by SADC. We'll be guided by President Zuma because he has been entrusted in that region to make sure that he bridges the difference between ZANU-PF and MDC.
And SADC both has said that the sanctions
SADC has said,
should be lifted.
SADC said the elections were flawless, so has the AU. Now, the observers this time went in way ahead of time. I would like to think, unless if America and the EU don't recognize SADC all of a sudden, then if they say they'll be guided by these two institutions, the two institutions have spoken, and therefore they must let the sanctions go.
Basil Dunn-Petter, the SADC, the Southern African Development Community, say that the West and, the US and Europe should lift the sanctions. Surely the US and Europe should heed them.
If I take you back to 2002 elections, which were very violent, what did SADC say? They still retained those elections as free and fair. Since when have SADC and AU stood on the side of long-suffering people of Zimbabwe? They have never done so. They have stood by Mugabe through thick and thin. And it was wrong for the European Union to even say they will take a cue from SADC, because they should have known better that SADC will turn a blind eye on all abuses, that are happening in Zimbabwe.
James Makamba, Bazaden seems to be saying that the Africans, the African Union, the Southern African Development Community is wrong when it comes to sanctions on Zimbabwe.
Well, you know, that's an opinion he's expressing. But if you go back to the main players, Morgan Tsvangirai and Robert Mugabe, when the inclusive government was instituted, they all agreed to the steps for governance for Zimbabwe, you know, over the next 5 years, between 2008 and now. And the new constitution under which these elections were held was written by these three parties, by Morgan Tsvangirai's lawyers and Robert Mugabe's lawyers, and agreed. And Morgan Tsvangirai was prime minister, a key player, key participant in this government. Now, you don't go to elections unless if you're satisfied that the level playing field is level.
So you're saying
he agreed with the conditions, participated in the elections, and committed himself to accept the result of the election. And
So you're saying that the US and Europe should accept that as well and lift the sanctions?
In keeping with their word, yes, they should.
Bazaden Petter, these sanctions have been in place for 10 years now, and they're really only targeted against President Mugabe and some of his ZANU-PF colleagues, and they're mostly travel bans, so he can't come to Europe or go to the United States. They're not particularly harsh. Why not just get rid of them then? Clearly, they haven't worked.
I disagree with you that the sanctions haven't worked. The reason why they are not effective is because they are implemented half-heartedly. If we could have effective sanctions that would cripple the Mugabe regime, bring it to its knees, like we saw in apartheid South Africa, the better for Zimbabwe. Because Robert Mugabe is never, ever going to allow the people of Zimbabwe to express their free will in democratic elections without massive pressure from the outside. Look, Robert Mugabe would want to fly the world all over, portray himself as an elder African statesman. The humiliation that he suffers from not being able to do that as a result of these sanctions, he has got a huge symbolic value. It's important, so they should be maintained.
Bazaden Petter and James Makamba. So where next for the Zimbabwean economy? One plank of President Mugabe's election campaign centred around new indigenisation laws, whereby foreign companies have to yield 51% of their assets to the government. I asked Richard Dowden from the Royal Africa Society how this would now play out.
I'm surprised, I have to say, that he said he'll do this. Whenever he's won a great victory, Mugabe's been very magnanimous and then tried to win over his former opponents. And this one is maybe his last great act, good or bad, but is to pursue the indigenization policies. These are possible with big mining companies where there's so much in the ground. You can say, well, 51% belongs to the people, and that's doable. But in smaller companies, it's obviously impossible. And for foreign banks, it's just not acceptable that a bank should have a majority local shareholding.
Another plank of his campaign was the reintroduction of the Zimbabwean dollar, which, of course, was absolutely smashed to pieces during the hyperinflation years. Is this even practical to bring back the Zimbabwean dollar?
Watching that, the Zim dollar collapse to ridiculous figures, I think people would be very wary of it, but unless it's really underpinned. But Zimbabwe's debt is between 6 and 10 billion. There is various views about how you cut that, but they've got a massive debt. So what are they going to underpin the dollar with? It's going to be very difficult to bring it back under the present economic policies.
And of course, there's the issue of sanctions. The West has sanctions on Robert Mugabe, mostly just travel bans on him and the senior members of his regime. The Southern African Development Community, SADC, have said we shouldn't have any more sanctions. The Americans have said, yes, we will. The British have said, our sanctions are staying. After 10 years of sanctions, A, they don't seem to have worked. B, they're quite sort of limited anyway. What's the point in having them?
They haven't worked. They've not budged Robert Mugabe an inch, as far as I can see. It's annoyed some of his senior colleagues and cronies who've had their bank accounts frozen. But apart from that, they've had absolutely no effect on policy that I can see. The fact that Southern Africa and Africa as a whole and the African Union have accepted this election means that this will be seen as Britain trying to meddle when they have no more power to do so. At one time, they could actually influence policy. They can't influence anything now. And the best thing they could do is turn around and congratulate Mugabe on the election and get on with it.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.